All right, so here's what I'm going to talk about, okay? I'm going to talk about Jesus raising from the dead. Is that a shocker to anyone? But here's what I want to ask to you today is, how did Jesus, how did it happen that he rose from the dead? How did it happen? Well, we have the answer in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, open up to Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. If you don't, you can follow us with us on the screen. And if you don't have this version, we're reading out of the New King James. There's a lot of good versions, but just so you can follow us word for word, you can follow us right up on the screen. Here's what Paul says. Paul says this: Paul, an apostle, not through men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ, and here's the answer, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Wow. So who raised Jesus from the dead? God the Father. Oh, praise the Lord. You know this already, right? Okay. My sermon's done. That's it. I'm just joking. But God, Jesus, was raised from the dead by the Father. I want to talk about that today, and I want to talk about, you know what, his example. How many know Jesus was our example? And so, the Bible says that we are to be imitators of God. And we know Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus was God. So if you want to know how to imitate God, you know what, look at Jesus and do what he did. I want to talk to you about how we are. Let me ask you this. Does anybody have any difficulties in your life? Raise your hand if you have any difficulties of your life. Okay, if your hand's not up, you know what? We got issues because... How many know you shouldn't lie in church? Amen? Come on, somebody say amen to this. How many know you shouldn't lie anywhere? Amen? Okay, but all of us have issues. All of us have problems. All of us have, we could call them mountains. Things in our lives that are get in the way of where we need to go and what we need to do. So I want us to look at Jesus, and I want to look at his example as far as how to trust God. There's a very interesting verse. It's in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. And I want you to see this verse because Jesus is about to say something that is so unbelievable. You know, God has promises in the Bible that are so absolutely incredible. They're almost too good to be true. So Jesus, before he starts, he says this: "For assuredly I say unto you." The King James says, "Verily, verily I say unto you." The Greek had no punctuation marks. None. No question marks, no exclamation points, no commas, no period. So in order to emphasize something, they would say it twice. So the King James, instead of saying, "Verily I say unto you," Jesus says, "Verily, verily I say unto you." The New King James says it like this: "Most assuredly, I'm telling you the truth." That's what Jesus is saying. And the reason he's saying that is because he's about to tell you something that is so incredibly unbelievable that this can happen. But how many know the Bible says it's impossible for God to lie? And so Jesus says this: "Most assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to the mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Wow, that seems incredible, does it not? And there's a couple words here that I want to focus on. You know what? One of the words I want to focus is what Jesus says: "Most assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to the mountain." Everybody say, "Whosoever says to that mountain." What does that mean? Here's what it means: that anyone can do this. Anyone can do this. Jesus says, "I don't care who you are. I don't care what your background is. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference. Tall, short, skinny, chubby, you know what? Doesn't make any difference. The only thing that I want you to understand is everyone can do this. Somebody say everyone can do this. Most assuredly, I say, anyone who will say to that mountain, be removed, cast into the sea, and not down in his heart, that very thing, look what it says, but believes those things which he says, he will be done. He will have what? Whatever he says. What's the key? Here's the key. The key is you need to believe it. The key is you need to believe it. Now, let me give you context of where this story is, of where this verse is. Because when you learn the context, you're going to understand what's going on here. So here's what's happening. Jesus is hungry. How many of you get hungry? Come on. So here's what's going on. You know what? You ever been driving around? You skip breakfast. You just grab a cup of coffee. You're out the door. You're running around. You're running here. You're running there. And all of a sudden, you drive by a McDonald's. Come on. Am I the only one? Tell the truth. You're looking at your, oh, my goodness, 4 o'clock. I haven't eaten. What? I haven't eaten what? I haven't eaten all day. Somebody said for a week. You're lying. Amen. But sometimes it feels like that, does it not? You're so hungry. You're like, oh, I'm so hungry. And boom, Jesus, you know, there wasn't a McDonald's, but there's a fig tree, and he sees a fig tree far off, and he says, man, goodness, I'm so hungry. And he starts walking to the fig tree. Why? Because he wanted to eat some figs. He gets to the fig tree, and he recognizes there are no figs. Amen. How many ever gone to him? How many ever gone to some place, a fast food place, and you go by, and you know what? And you go through the fast food, and nobody says nothing to you, or they say something you hate hearing. This, you know what? I'm sorry, we're closed. That's bad, huh? You hate that. Do you hate that? Jesus, like, what is up, man? I want some figs. From this fig tree, I'm going there. There's no figs. He curses the fig tree. He curses the fig tree. And here's what happens. The next day, everybody say the next day. The apostles heard him cursing the fig tree. And so the next day, he's walking. They're walking. And guess who sees the fig tree? Peter sees the fig tree. How many know Peter is like pretty passionate about stuff? You know what I mean? How many know Peter's all over the page? And Peter's like, whoa, look at this. Because how many know you can curse something? The Bible says it was cursed from the root. How many know you can cut off a tree, you can cut off a branch, and for, you know what, half an hour after that, the branch looks like it's completely still connected to the vine. But how many know the longer time goes, the more you'll be able to tell, you know what, there's no life in that branch. It's been cut off. You know what? And it all, you know what it looks like. Come on. Come on, give me your dead, withered branch look, okay? And it's all withered, and it's like, oh my goodness, Jesus, look. Now, can I tell you the truth? There are all kinds of times that Jesus will say stuff to us and we're like the apostles. We really don't believe what he said is going to happen is going to happen. Amen. Listen, in the Old Testament, you know what? God prophetically said, warn the people, it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. And they're like, yeah. You know, we can all do this. And we get so busy with our lives that we forget to focus on that which is really important. And so they're like, yeah, Jesus said it. We don't. But then all of a sudden they saw it, and Peter was like, whoa, look. New King James says, behold. Or King James says, behold, check it out. Look at this. Jesus, what you said was going to happen, it happened. Look at this. And then, watch this, and then it's from that context that Jesus says this. Most assuredly, I say to you guys that anyone, and then I like that he takes something bigger than a fig tree. See, can I tell you what? There's things in our lives, in all of our lives, that are huge. Let me talk about mountain. When I was little, my grandparents lived in San Gabriel. And I remember going to my grandparents' house, even really little, and seeing those beautiful mountains. How many know what I'm talking about? Arcadia, Pasadena, all those mountains look so beautiful. San Bernardino, all beautiful. I mean, San Gabriel, beautiful mountains. I remember seeing that. You know what? Years and years and years and years and years and years later, when I went over to my grandparents, guess what? Those mountains were still there. Mountains are a couple things. They're big, and they're there for a long time. Does somebody have a mountain in your life? Do you have a mountain in your life? Something that is big and that's been there for a long time, but that mountain is getting in your way of what you need to do, what you know you need to do. And here's what God says. Before he says, you know what, this, assuredly I say to you, that anyone who says to this mountain, be removed, cast into the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, that the very things he says, whatever he says, it'll happen to them. Now, you and I just think, man, that can't happen. But in real time, Jesus had just shown them that stuff works. Can somebody say amen? Amen? This stuff works. Peter saw it. The apostles saw it. It was real. And he says, guys, let me tell you what. This can happen to anyone. What's the key? The one verse before that. Here it is. Look at it with me. It's Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. One of the most phenomenal verses in the whole New Testament, right here. And Jesus answered and said to them, here it is, you ready? Have faith in God. I'm about to tell you something that will seem unbelievable, but here's what you have to do. In the midst of a mountain, you need to have faith in God. Who raised Jesus from the dead? God raised him from the dead. We read that. But here's what I want to say. How come Jesus was able to be raised from the dead? This is deep. Are you ready? Look at your neighbor and say, our pastor is deep. Okay. I'm mocking this right now. You get this? Okay. Here's how come Jesus was raised from the dead. Because he died. I told you I was deep. I set you guys up. No, that's why. And you might say, that's so obvious, Pastor. No. Stop. Catch this. Because if you miss this, you'll miss the whole point of the sermon. Here's the point. The point is, there was a willingness that Jesus had to die. Jesus had to have faith that his Father was going to raise him up from the dead. Are you catching this? Now watch this. Let me you talk about having no control. See, let me tell about Christianity. Can I tell you why many people never come to Christ, even though it's the smartest thing to do, the best thing I've ever done, the second best thing I've ever done was marry my wife. Somebody say amen. 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 But the best thing I ever did was come to Christ and become a Christian to give him my life. That was the best thing I ever did. And it's the best thing you'll do. But at times, even if we become a Christian, sometimes we don't trust in God. Because what God is telling us is so unbelievable. And we get fixed on what we see and not what he says. Boy, this would be a good sermon title. You know what? Can you believe what God says over what you see? Because if you can believe what God says over what you see, you can walk in the supernatural. You say, no, I can't. No, that was Jesus. That was Jesus. But the Bible says that Jesus emptied himself from all his heavenly privileges. Jesus, you know what? Here's what he had to do. He had to do the same thing that we have to do if we're going to walk in the supernatural. If we're going to see the mountains in our life fade, and Jesus said they can, but you have to put your trust in God. There was a story, a pastor I was listening to the other day, and he told a funny, funny story. And don't judge him, because this was a long time ago. But he went into an airport, and it was the first time he had been part of those faucets that have automatic, the water comes out automatic when you put your hands in front of them, right? Motion-sensored faucets. And he had never witnessed that. So he comes in the restroom. He goes to the restroom. He wants to wash his hands. He looks at the faucet. He's like, huh? Well, there's a faucet, but where's the knobs? Where's the hot and where's the cold? Somebody forgot to put the knobs on this faucet. How are you supposed to do this? And he sat there and he looked at it. And then he looked at the ground. You ever gone into like a hospital, and sometimes they'll have a place for the doctors and they step on it? You ever seen that? He's looking on the ground. He can't find it. There's nothing on it. Even on the ground, there's nothing. And he's just sitting there looking at it thinking, huh, I'd like to wash my hands. But there's no knobs. Finally, some guy comes up. You know what? Goes to the restroom, comes out, puts his hands in front of that, whatever that sensor is, and the water comes out. And he thinks, huh, that's a miracle working God. That guy's a prophet. That guy's a miracle worker. Look at that. The water just came out. And then he put his hands, you know what, in front of the dispenser to get the paper towels. And sure enough, and he thought, oh my goodness, that guy is a miracle working guy. And then he said, you know what? After he walked out of the bathroom, he walked up to that faucet, put his hands there, shh, coming out. He thinks, oh my goodness, I'm a miracle working guy. Then he went over and got the towel, just put his hand there, miracle working guy. How many know these guys weren't miracle working guys? No, but, and he said on the way out, he saw a sign and he said, everything in this back room, in this bathroom is motion censored, operated. Can I tell you what? That's your Christian life. See, Jesus said, anyone who says that mountain be removed, but believe in his heart. See, believing God is the activation that causes the promises of God to happen in your life. To say it again, because that was good. Believing in God, listen to me, this is the message. Believing in God is the activation process by which you and I and anyone who believes can start to walk and to receive the principles and the promises that God has for everyone. That's why Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, anyone who says to this mountain, be removed, cast in the sea, not down in his heart. And before he says, see, believe in God. Can you believe what Jesus said over what you see? Because if you can, you know what? I hope your shoes are tied up tight, because you will walk in the supernatural. That's the key. That is the key to walking in the supernatural. That's the key. And can I tell you what? Many of your problems, you know what they are? They are situations that you can't figure it out in the natural. If you could, you would have already taken care of your problems. Is that not right? The woman with the issue of blood. She's got a problem. There's all kinds of doctors. You know what? And she goes to these physicians trying to get the answer to her problem. But after 12 years, the Bible says she got no better. Matter of fact, she got worse. You know what? And they had, over a period of time, they had taken all her money. See, can I tell you what? There are situations in your life, and you've gone to your best friends. You know what? You call Becky on the phone. Hey, Becky, what's going on? I don't, you know what? You called Kimberly on the phone. Hey, Kimberly, what's up? You know, can you help me? You know what? You called, you know what, all your friends, and you know what? And you still don't have the answer for their problem. Here's why. Because man doesn't have the answer. Because in order to get through your problem, you need to not walk in the natural. You need to walk in the supernatural. And God said, well, Pastor, I just don't believe that. Okay, well, I hope you like that mountain because, watch this, you are going to have to figure it out by yourself. And all your brainiac friends, amen? How many got some brainiac friends who don't know nothing, amen? Raise your hand. I didn't say, are you sitting next to them? I said, you have them. I didn't say, are you sitting next to them? I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But we all have that. We have people, and you know what? We think, you know what? All this happens to all of us. We think we can go here. We think we can go there. We think we can call our friends. We think our friends have the answer. But ultimately, you know what? The truth is they don't have the answer. Here's the question. Can you believe what God said over what you see? Here's the real question. Will you put your trust in God? Because let me tell you what, if you will, Jesus said that, you know what, anyone, think about this, Jesus said, anyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Anyone who asks will receive. Anyone who seeks will find. But can I tell you what you need to do? You need to put your trust in God. You need to get your, and you know who, you know who is the most brainiac sometimes? Ourself. We think, oh, I know how to fix this. I know how to get out of this mess. I know. How many of you lived long enough to recognize you don't know how to get out of your messes? Amen? Come on. You know this is true? You know, Mick Jagger knew it was true. How many know Mick Jagger knew? How do I know that Mick Jagger knew? Here's why. Because from the heart, the mouth speaks. First service, I said, from the heart, the mouth sings. How many know this is true? And he said, I can't get no satisfaction. Right? He says, I try. Right? But what did he say? But I can't get no. Hey. Come on. See, what's he doing? Listen. This is the truth. From the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, how many know? You know, how many know he's got a lot of money? You know, how many know he can go to a lot of people and try to get a lot of advice? You know what? He can buy a lot of drugs. He can buy as many nice cars as he can. He can live wherever he wants. You know what? All kinds of women just flowing themselves at him. But here's what he says. Ultimately, I've tried. But let me tell you, I can't get no satisfaction. And that doesn't surprise me. Because the truth is, you know what? If we want our problems really taken care of, we have to do what Jesus said. We have to put our trust in God. Amen. Now, are you learning something? So let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Up here on the screens, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Think about it. It doesn't say it's unlikely. If you're not going to put your trust in God, you know what's going to happen? It's impossible. You won't please God. And let me tell you about God. God is easy to please. You know, the truth is, all we have to do is trust in God. And let me tell you what the Bible says also. It says that we need to believe, watch this, it is impossible to please God, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. You know, if you're going to come to God, you have to believe he exists. But watch this next line. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, the Bible says, if you're a Christian, you must believe that God is a rewarder. You must believe that God is a rewarder. Now, let's go back to Jesus and we'll tie this all up, put it all together. How was Jesus raised from the dead? Who raised Jesus from the dead?
God.
But no one took Jesus' life. He gave his life. Remember the authority, the Roman authority who said, Jesus, you better pay attention. Don't you know who's got the power to kill you? Remember what Jesus said? He said, no. The power that you have has been given to you by my Father. Jesus, in another verse, said, no one takes my life, but I lay it down. Here's how come Jesus raised from the dead, because he was willing to die. He was willing to die. See, when he was willing to be obedient to God, he was able to watch the supernatural happen. Now, let's talk about death. How many know when you die, you're absolutely out of control? How many know when Jesus was living, he could make choices? But once he died, now no one can raise Jesus. Jesus can't raise himself up from the dead. He's got to believe that his Father's going to raise him from the dead. See, when you're dead, you're no control. You don't have control. You know what? So you die. You know what? I'm wearing pink today. You hate pink. I mean, you just hate it. You don't look good in pink. You don't like wearing pink. But guess what? You know what? At the coroner's place, when they're fixing you all up, they're looking at some of your shirts. Your wife bought you a pink shirt a long time ago. You haven't ever worn that pink shirt. And that guy looked at that pink shirt. He said, I'm going to pick this one. And he puts that pink shirt on you. And everybody's going to come by and look, oh, look, he's got a pink shirt on today. And you hate wearing that pink shirt. But can you do anything about that?
Nope.
Why not? Oh, you are theologically smart. You can't do anything about that shirt. You know why? Because you're dead. Can I tell you what? God will tell you things that the world will tell you direct opposite. The world will say, nope, you have to control. How many of you would confess you like to control things? Raise up your hands if you're, come on. Thank you for your honesty. We're all like that, amen? Every time I go to Tommy's, you know what I mean? I don't tell Tommy's not one time. I don't tell him, just make my burger however you want. How many know I do not like onions? How many know like that? You know what? I tell him in English. I tell him in Spanish. George, Pastor George, I tell him in Spanish and English. I want to make sure they understand. No onions. Now I forgot the word. Savoia, I know the word. No Savoia, please. This is important to me. One day I was so hungry. Talk about hungry. I was so hungry. I was going home. You know what? I got my Tommy's burger. I'm so happy. Pastor George, I'm so happy. I'm going home, and I bite the burger. Now, let me tell you about Tommy's. How many know they don't grill the onions over at Tommy's? Okay? They give you these white onions. They chop them. And here's what I hate about. Because they put the onions, and it smashed with the chili. Let me give you a factual truth. If you order a Tommy's burger with onions, you cannot take the onions off. Pastor, this message is deep. I told you I'm deep, man. That's just how I am. But I'm driving home. I'm so mad. because I'm not going to turn around and wait in the line again for them. I'm just so mad. Now, every single time, this is the truth, I say no onions. When I get up to the thing, I say, hey, did I say no onions? I know I said no onions. I just am trying to be polite. I want to make sure they know. No Savoia. Is that right? Okay. What's my point? My point is, I want to control what I eat. Amen. My kids are so funny. They're so international, Pastor George. I am not international. So we go over, you know what, to President Thai. Listen, if you're the owner of President Thai, no, I don't mean anything negative, but you know what? So we go over to President Thai, and it's just like too international for my taste buds. You know what I mean? And so, you know, but my wonderful daughter, Shayla, says, Dad, just order the orange chicken. It's just like Panda Express. Can I tell you what? It's not just like Panda Express. It is not just like Panda Express. It's different, amen? It is not the same. You guys know what I'm saying is true. I just don't have that, you know what? I'm just not skinny jeans enough. Listen. Amen. How many of you? Okay, that's what it is. But here's what I'm saying. We want to control. And here's the blessed life. The blessed life is a life. Here's what the Bible says, that God's ways are higher than our ways. You want to live a blessed life? Jesus said it like this. If you want a quality life, you need to lose your life. He's going to tell you what, you can keep on running your life, but if you do, you won't walk in the supernatural. You'll keep on having mountains in your way. And listen, and you can just keep on bumping up in the mountain, bumping up that mountain, bumping up the mountain, but that mountain needs to be removed supernaturally. Jesus raising from the dead is one of the most beautiful pictures of a life that is submitted to God. Aren't you glad Jesus died? How many of you are glad Jesus died? See, Jesus could have said, no, I don't. And here's what happened. You know what? You and I would never be able to be with God forever. Because in his death, was able to conquer sin and death. All the sin in all our life was laid on him. He was the scapegoat for us. He was the substitution for us. What did he have to do? He had to be obedient to what his father asked him to do. Amen. Can I share with you one more scripture and then we'll close? How many glad you came this Easter? Amen. Let me show you. Amen. Let me just show you one more scripture. Actually, I'm going to show you two more. Actually, I'm going to show you five more. Actually, Pastor George, we're just going to preach until, can you just give me 5 minutes? Who give me 5 minutes? Raise your hand and give me 5 minutes. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Oh, see, Pastor, we got all day. Amen. These people are gracious. No, I promise I'll get you out soon. But I just want to show you actually two passages. The first is in Romans chapter 8. And I want to start off, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. That is a promise of God. That's a promise that you can walk in if you'll trust God. Are you hearing me? See, all things work together. But you know what? But you're not going to believe that. You know, I've got to control my life. I've got to, you know what? I'm going to date who I want to date. I'm going to drink what I want to drink. I'm going to smoke what I want to smoke. I'm going to have any attitudes, bad attitudes. How many know bad attitudes are one of the worst things you can have? You know what? I'm going to keep my bad attitudes. You know what? I'm just ticked at you. I'm ticked at my boss. I'm ticked at you. I'm ticked at all these drivers. You know what? If people would just be like me, how many are like this? If people would just be like me, everything in life would be good. I mean, no, if people would be like you, we'd be all jacked up. Amen. Come on. You could say amen to this. How many know we all have issues? But see, the Bible says that we need to just put our trust in God. Because here's why. See, for you to relax, we worry about stuff we should never worry about. Why? Because of this verse. I got so many, but I don't got time today. But this is good enough that we can all just relax because of those. If you're in the family of God, you can relax because God says all these things are going to work out together for good. See, will you believe God? Will you put your trust in God? Watch this. To those who are called according to his purpose. Next verse. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to conform to the image of God. If you're born again, God says this, I've already decided there's going to be this conformity that at some point in time, you're going to look like my son. Wow, look at your neighbor and say, I hope you're looking like Jesus every day. See, that's what the Bible said that God would do for you. And he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Watch this next verse. Whom he predestined to these he also called. To whom he called, he also justified. To whom he justified, he also glorified. Watch this. And what shall we say to these things? Listen to this. If God is for us, who can be against us? See, and you're all worried about all this going on. Ooh, this person got mad at me, and this person takes me off, and I'm so mad with them, and all this. And you separate yourself. And Paul says this. Hey, guys, I'm paraphrasing. Guys, what's your problem? Didn't you hear what I just proclaimed? That God, that all things work out for good for those who are called of God? So what are you worried about? When he says, you know what, if God is for us, who can be against us? He's not saying this. He's not going like this. Oh, let's see. Who's God for? Is he for you or you? I'm not sure. He's not saying this is a rhetorical question based on everything that he just said. He's trying to make this argument to go, guys, what are you worried about? Why are you worried? I like how David said it. David said it in the Psalms. Guys, up in the back, turn to this. Psalms 34, verse 5. David said it like this. He said, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Well, that's a good question. Why do we get downcast? Why do we get depressed? Why do we get worried? Why do we get concerned? Listen, Christians, this is nonsensical. Put your trust in God. Stop thinking you got to control everything. You're going to fix everything. You ain't going to fix everything. Ooh, that's a good revelation. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't going to fix everything. If you could, you would. It would already been fixed. Amen. Can we do this? David, one version says it like this. Why so downcast, O my soul? All I have to do is put my trust in God. Why? Here's why. Because if God's for you, who can be against you? See, the promises of God, let me tell you about the promise of God. They're yea and they're amen. How did Jesus do the supernatural? Here's how he did it. He gave up. He didn't control his life. You know what Jesus said? That everything that I say because I heard it from God first. Everything that I do because I see God do it first. He didn't run his life. Can I tell you what? We can walk in the supernatural if we do that. God loves you. The example of the resurrection of Christ, not only was the reality that we can be free of sin, but that we can put our trust in God and walk in the supernatural, just like Jesus did. I don't believe that. I do. Because Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever will say to this mountain. Why don't we say that to the mountain? Why don't we say that to our problems? Here's why. Because we don't put our trust in God. And I'm saying today can be the first day of the rest of your life. With every head bowed and every eyes closed. before we dismiss you, I want to make sure I give you an opportunity to come into the family of God. If you're not a Christian and you've come today and you say, Pastor, something that you said, I want to come into the family of God. I'm not going to ask you to come up to the stage. I'm not going to ask you after we dismiss to go in some separate room with elders. I'm not going to ask any of that. But I am going to ask you that you would just raise your hand and give me 30 seconds to say a prayer that you would say, God, I need help. I want to accept Jesus in my heart. If that's you, I see that hand in the back. Just raise up your hand. Give me a chance to see it. I see that hand. I see that hand. Who else? Who else? Yes, thank you. I see those hands over here. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead, put your hands down. Now, we're going to pray. If you put your hand up, we're going to pray. And here's what's going to happen. We're just going to invite Jesus into your heart. And he's going to come in and he's going to change you from the inside out. If you're already in the family of God, will you pray this with us that we all can pray? Father, I come to you today. Jesus, I ask you to come in my heart. Wash away all my sins. I'm telling you today, I need help. I want to give you my life. I want your life. I want to be with you forever. I thank you for changing me because of Jesus and his blood. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Guys, if you raise your hand, I'm so, so, so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Now, here's what I want you to do. Get in a good Bible-believing church. Here, let me think of one that's around here. Oh, Hope. Get into a good Bible-believing church. Start to come Sunday and Wednesday, and let us start to just teach you the word. Now, one more thing before I dismiss you. If something that was said and you just feel like you've ran your life too much and you haven't trusted in God, that's why you're running your life, because you're not putting your trust in God. You have to fix your marriage. You have to fix your finances. You have to fix your depression. You're trying to fix it all and you recognize, oh my goodness, I just need to put my trust in God. If that's you, with nobody's head bowed and everybody looking around, I want you to raise your hand because I want to pray with you. If that's you, raise up your hand. I want to pray with you. Oh, look at that. All over the place. All over. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let me pray with you. Father, you see our hands are up. We're saying we have controlled our life for too long and we are sorry. Help us in situations. Give us the answer. Give us the promises. Help us to walk where you would be in control, not us. Say, I want to be out of control. Say, I want God to be in control. Say, God, I give you control. Say that again, but think of that area that you have, that you need to give to God. Say, God, I give you control. I put my trust in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Let me tell you what, Tamara and I are so proud of every single one of you, and we want to personally invite you. Maybe you don't have a home church. Maybe you just came. Maybe you were one of the ones who were invited with the invitation cards. We gave out over 2,400 invitation cards just this week to invite people to Easter service. But you know what? Maybe you haven't been in church a long time, but you say, you know what? I like what Pastor Tamara said. I need a place to call home. And you know what? And I thought pastors were all dorky. And Pastor, you don't seem that dorky. Amen? Wait, I'm not done. Well, you seem a little dorky, but at least... Okay. But I'm saying, you know what? That I said something you can listen, because next week I'll say the same kind of things. It'll be encouraging, sometimes challenging. But I trust me, you will be encouraged. Maybe today wasn't an accident that you were here. Maybe this is your home church. And if it is, I want to welcome you to Hope. I want to say, you know what? It is our privilege if you will come here and we can be called your pastors. Tamara.
Amen. Will you put that Romans 8:28 back up for me, guys? As you begin your journey with the Lord, or as you continue your journey with the Lord, wherever you're at today, I want to just encourage you with some things from my journey. Pastor Drew was born and raised in the church. His father was a pastor. That's not my story. That's not me. I was told by my parents that we believed in God. As a kid, you asked, do we believe in God? People would always ask me, do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? Do you believe? Oh, do I? Mom, do we believe in God? And she said, yeah, we do. She said, we just don't believe you have to go to church to love God. Now, I don't know about you. Now, first of all, I'm raised with that. You know what I mean? Second of all, I have heard that numerous times as I'm a believer going to church. Wouldn't miss it. Just faithful. Why are you faithful? Why are you doing opposite what your mom told you? I'll tell you why. Because the Bible told me, don't forsake the gathering of the brethren. The Bible told me that God will plant us in a house, and that I was to be grounded and rooted in that place so that I could flourish in my relationship and my walk with him. So here's what I want to share with you. How many of you today either turned on a coffee pot or a light? Who used some electricity today? Anyone? All of us, right? Aren't you glad? Like, I see stuff on TV, you know, people out in the bush. That's not for Pastor T. That is not for me. You know what I mean? I need my lights on and my air conditioning, all my stuff, right? You know, they told Thomas Edison that there was no way he could ever achieve what he was trying to achieve with electricity. What about an airplane? Anyone have ever been on an airplane? You ever gone on vacation? Enjoyed, you know what, being on an airplane? Did you know they told the Wright brothers they were crazy? That you couldn't fly? It's not possible. What about a car? You guys have a car, the blessing of a car. Sometimes, you know what, I see people, you know what, they don't have a car, and it's just a bummer. I mean, thank God for Uber these days, but you know what, it's a bummer when you want to get somewhere and you don't have a way to get there. But many of us enjoy the blessing of a car. Same thing. When Henry Ford was working on putting together that automobile, there were plenty, just a plethora of people telling him he was nuts, that it would not work. What I've learned from raising my children, when I was dating, marriage advice, financial advice, spiritual advice, it's out there by the droves. Everyone's got something to tell you. Just like they told me. You told my parents, probably. I don't know. I never asked my mom that, but she's probably told the same thing. You don't really need to go to church to love God. But love, as we look at this, all things work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. That word love is obedience. Jesus would say to people, why do you say that you love me, but you don't obey me? Love is the way that we show our love to the Lord, right from your Bibles. I'm not making this up. The words of Jesus Christ himself. He would question them numerous times. Why do you say you love me, but you don't obey me? The reason why it's so important that we get that wherever you're at in your journey is because no one should be advising us on our relationship with the Lord except for the Lord himself, the Word. And if we begin to listen to people around us, all the naysayers, that's why we talked about Edison and Henry Ford and the Wright brothers. There's always naysayers. I've had people give me advice, you know what, concerning my marriage, my children, my spiritual walk with the Lord. So contrary to what the Word of God says. And who should have more weight? These people that I run across on my path? Or even family members, whoever? Or the Lord himself? Isn't that the whole point? We're trying to have a relationship with him. It's him that we're pursuing. So let's let him direct us through the Word. It's why he gave it to us. And even Easter, as we sit here on this day, you know, there have been, and whether you know this or not, because I was told plenty of things. Oh, that's not true. You know, that's contradicting. All kinds of jazz from people who really know nothing. Can I just tell you that? They don't know what they're talking about. And yet we listen to them as if they're some kind of an expert on it. There have been plenty of real experts who have, we were just talking about Lee Strobel the other day. Pastor Drew and a bunch of the guys went to go see him just last month. And he was a very accomplished, intelligent reporter in Chicago. And an atheist at that. His wife ended up becoming born again and began pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he hated it. They were on the brink of divorce. He could not tolerate this stupidity that she had gotten herself into. And so, as an investigative journalist, he decided he was going to research and show her how ignorant it was to be a Christian, how foolish it was. What ended up happening as he's trying to investigate this is he ends up falling to his knees and giving his life to the Lord because he finds all of this evidence of the life of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. People who profess to be believers and people who don't will not argue the reality that not only did he live, but that the crucifixion and all the accounts of the resurrection, this is history. This is real. And that is what we base our faith on. It is in this moment that we decide, you know what, that we're pursuing this God to have this relationship with him. And if you were to research it yourself, you would just go, wow. Wow. Don't let people talk you out of the truth. We have to know what God says and then believe him and just press forward. I had a lady come one time. We have Women of Hope now on the third Friday of every month, but we used to have it two times a week, like back in the day. And it was over here in this room, and I would have a lady come in. She was a speaker that she came a couple times. She came the one time, and she and I just went to dinner afterwards, and when I shared with her all kinds of things that God was doing here. And all that God had done, how he brought us here, and that we had no finances, and what took place here, and how God just showed up time and time and time again. In that journey of all of these testimonies that I had about who God was, how faithful he was, how mighty he was, and what he had done, she was in awe. She left. I didn't know how much in awe she was until the next time she came back. And when she came back the next time, she didn't just come, but she came with a bunch of these women with her. And they just beelined for me when they got into the room. And they said, Pastor Tamara, tell them all the stories that you were telling me. Tell them about the carpet. Tell them about the chairs. Tell them what God did. Tell them how you guys ended up in the newspaper. She was just very, very excited. And she said, tell them. And she said to me, she said, you know, I was a little kind of taken back, you know what I mean? I was like, okay, you know what I mean? So I start testifying to these ladies what God had done, how faithful he had been to us, how cool he is, how real he is, how mighty he is. Every one of those things that she talked about were these faith places in my life where I had this test. And I ended up with a testimony. You know why I ended up with testimony? Because I didn't listen to the people around me who said, oh, you can't do that. Oh, that's not going to happen. You know what? You know why I didn't let go? Because I saw what God said in his word concerning these things. I was like, who am I going to believe? Am I going to believe you? Or am I going to believe what the word says? I choose the word. And because I chose the word in every one of these tests that happened in my life, I ended up with a testimony. And this lady said, she said, you know, I travel all over the place. I meet all kinds of pastors. But none of them have stories like you have. That's funny because we have the same God. So what's the difference? I'll tell you the difference. The faith to just believe God and take his word for face value. That was the difference. That I wouldn't let the people around me tell me, no, you know, you can't do that. No, 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 you're not going to have that. But my testimonies are my testimonies. And whatever your challenges are, whatever is going on in your life, the word has the answer. And you need to grab that. And you need to walk that out in your life so that you can have your testimony. And many of you have many testimonies already of just different things that God has done. But the way that we have something to say is that we believe God and we get through these trials and come out the other side the way he intends. Amen?